Genesis begins with the beginnings of many things. The creation of the heavens and the earth, the origin of man and woman and the home, the introduction of sin into the world, the need of redemption, the need of water to cleanse the earth with a flood. Another important topic is introduced in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 that was just read for us, and that is the subject of worship. The first thing that we must realize is that Cain and Abel did not just upon a given day decide to offer up an offering to God. They did not make that decision on their own. They were responding to a command of God. How do we know that? Well, let's consider the two offerings. They both seem to be the best that men could offer. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. And notice that it says Abel also brought of the firstlings of the flock and their fat, meaning the fattest, the choicest, the best. The also seems to refer to the quality of the offering. The use of the word also implies that Cain had brought his best, since it cannot refer to what was brought, since one brought produce and the other an animal by way of sacrifice. So if they both brought the best, then why did God reject Cain's offering? And we see that he did in verse 5. Now, other scriptures provide us the information we need to answer that question. For example, if we go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, we read, by faith, and we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Again, the verse implies that both offerings were of the best quality, but Abel's was a more excellent sacrifice. And again, we want to ask, why was that the case? Since Abel offered his sacrifice by faith, again, God told him what he wanted. And what God wanted was a blood sacrifice. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. Hebrews 12:24. We have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel offered a blood sacrifice to God, but it is not as good as Jesus offering his own blood to atone for the sins of mankind. Abel offered a blood sacrifice, which was a response to what God had commanded. He had commanded the same thing of Cain, but Cain brought what he wanted to bring. He did not bring what God commanded, a blood sacrifice. He brought what was important to him, what he enjoyed, what he thought was the best. Although he offered a quality sacrifice, it contained no blood. Of course, here is the point, that Christ's blood is better than that of animals, and so Christ's blood is better than that which Abel offered. We read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4 that it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. That's why Christ's offering was a better sacrifice, a more qualitative sacrifice than that of Abel. God required the blood offering as the type of the blood of Christ that would later atone for our sins. And that's why it had to be a blood sacrifice. It doesn't matter whether Cain and Abel understood the significance and the symbolism of the blood being offered. The fact is, that's what God commanded. It was an offering by faith for Abel, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God, God having required a blood sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, not with the blood of bulls and goats, or goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered in the holy, most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Further, God gives the reason why Cain slew Abel. And once again, we go to the New Testament for this, 1 John chapter 3 and verses 11 and 12. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. The only works we know of at that point involved the sacrifice. Abel bringing a blood sacrifice and Cain not bringing one. And that's why his works are called evil, and that's why God rejected the worship that he offered. So the last mention of Cain is in Jude 11, where it talks about avoiding the way of Cain. What is the way of Cain? The way of Cain is being a law unto oneself. The way of Cain is listening to what God commands and deciding whether that's okay or you could do something better or different. The law of Cain is doing, making one a law unto himself, whether it concerns worship or morality or ethics. Now we want to come to Nadab and Abihu. These were Aaron's sons, and they were trained to follow in the priesthood, but they did not respect God's law concerning worship. Let's read this from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. They did what was not authorized. They offered fire that God had not specified. They had no authority to offer that fire. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So he held his peace. God was not glorified when they offered fire he had not commanded. The same is true today when people offer up to God in worship what they want, like Cain, or like Nadab and Abihu, that's not treating God as holy. That is not glorifying God. How do you think God feels today when people have turned worship into entertainment centers, into doing what they like instead of what God has commanded? You read things, you read advertisements all the time that say things like, oh, come and worship with us. Our orchestra will perform for you. Come hear our band. And these are enticements that people have to draw crowds. Did God say to do any of these things? No. They are doing what God has not commanded, just as Nadab and Abihu did. Worship is not about honoring ourselves, but about honoring our holy Creator. It's not about what we like and enjoy. It's about what pleases God. For many people, it's about what's convenient, what I like. But that's not the way God designed worship. Another text dealing with the wrong kind of worship is found in Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. So let's go to the other end of the Old Testament, to the book of Malachi, and read what was going on in verses 6 through 8. The prophet, God speaking through the prophet, says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying that the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. And of course, the answer is in the question. Whereas Cain and Abel gave their best, the Israelites were giving their worst. Men would not accept such an offering, and yet God, who is greater than all, is expected to accept offerings like these. Where is his honor? Where is his reverence? He asks. Sometimes people do not show these qualities in the way that they dress for worship, in their appearance, when they come to worship. Sometimes they do not express reverence in their attitudes. In the Old Testament, this was not permissible. God is to be honored and reverenced in everything about us when we worship Him. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around him, Psalm 89 and verse 7. Are we to believe that under the first covenant, God was to be reverenced, but under the greater covenant, he is not? Of course not. If anything, we should be more concerned not less concern about how we worship and honor God. Well, what is reverence? Reverence in the New Testament is defined as a feeling or attitude of deep respect, love, awe, and esteem as for something sacred, veneration. Well, we do find that described that way in the New Testament, but that definition is actually from Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary. Even secular sources can get some things right occasionally. Is that the attitude that we have when we come together? Reverence in worship is not created by an atmosphere. Oh, if we just dim the lights, maybe have some incense, maybe have a band playing softly, we can create just the best attitude. No, reverence is not created by an attitude, by atmosphere rather, but when we assemble, realizing what we have come together for, to offer to God our praises, we will view that time as sacred. If we have reverence for God, we will respect His word being read. When prayers are led, we will participate, realizing that we are taking part of prayers that are being offered through our high priest, Jesus our Lord. And they are going up to the very throne of God. The things that we humbly ask for, God is listening to. When we sing, we will truly let the words of Christ dwell in us richly. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And we will sing and make melody in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. When a message is presented from God's word, we will regard it as being from God and not man. When the Lord's Supper is taken, we will stand by faith at the foot of the cross, discerning the body and blood of our Lord. If we truly participate in worship the way we ought to, we will be aware that this is all being done in the presence of Almighty God. And we will try not to be distracted by worldly interests and concerns. If we do not have reverence for God, then the time that we spend together in the assembly of the saints will be for some no different than a secular assembly, a ball game, or a school assembly, or some sort of concert. That's the attitude we'll bring with us if we do not have one of reverence. Do we arrive unprepared to worship God? We spend time meeting and greeting, getting all caught up in the social aspects of socializing with one another, which is fine. But are we then successful in making the switch to putting worldly things aside in order to worship and honor and reverence God? Are we giving God our best? Are we honoring Him and reverencing Him as He deserves? Now we want to go to John 4, 23 and 24, where we read that God wants those who worship Him to worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit refers to the attitude and enthusiasm that we have, as well as offering God our best. That's what worshiping in spirit involves. So far as we know, this element was present with Cain and Abel, but not the Israelites in Malachi's day. I want to go, actually I'm still there, so I'm going to read, I never moved, I guess. Malachi chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, and think about how sad these words are. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen and the lame and the sick. This you bring as an offering. Should I accept it from your hand? Says the Lord. The obvious implication is no. But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and makes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. How sad that these words ever needed to be uttered. That God's people were so far from worshiping and honoring him that they behaved in this manner. They also broke the law in offering what they offered. Just quickly, let's run through a few verses from Leviticus, and there could be many more, but very quickly, Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 3, and these are all going to say pretty much the same thing. Leviticus 1:3. If his offering is a burnt offering, sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male, what? Without blemish. Verse 10. And if his offering is of the flocks, of the sheep, or of the goats, as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. Well, there are other types of offerings. Let's go over to chapter 3. And read the first verse. When his offering is a sacrifice or peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether it is male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. Verse 6, in his offering as a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord is of the flock, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. Chapter 4, verse 3, a different sacrifice. If the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin, for which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish as a sin offering. And on it goes. So when they brought these to God, first of all, they violated worshiping in spirit because they didn't bring the best. And second, they violated worshiping in truth because they violated the law by bringing that which was blemished to God. How sad that God's people had deteriorated in this way. Correct worship has been required from God from the beginning, going back to Cain and Abel. And we saw it under the law of Moses, and we saw it in the days of Malachi, and we saw Jesus talking about worship that is acceptable unto God being in spirit and in truth. Jesus is our sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, and he is without blemish so that he could be offered up. And he gave his blood for our sins. Revelation 1:5. We honor and reverence him for that sacrifice in the Lord's Supper. Worship must also be in truth. which Cain violated, giving to God what he wanted instead of what God asked for. Nadab and Abihu did likewise. They gave God what they wanted to give rather than what he required. It was too inconvenient to do it correctly, apparently. God was not reverenced or treated as holy in these situations. The people of Malachi's day likewise broke the law by offering sacrifices that were blemished, and they did not worship according to the truth. Worship is about God, not us. He has always expected that his followers worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, to offer up acceptable worship, you must have had your sins washed away. If you have not, you can offer up worship, but you're not qualified yet because you're still in your sins. And sins must be washed away so that God can receive worship from one who is holy, one who has been made holy by the blood of Jesus. And so you must have your sins washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16, Saul was asked, "Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Then you'd be qualified to offer up to God acceptable worship. And then you can keep his commandments by worshiping him in spirit and in truth." God is worthy. Jesus is worthy. And we must offer up that which is holy and acceptable unto him in spirit and in truth. God is to be reverenced. This morning, if you have not had your sins cleansed, as we just noted, you have that opportunity if you're willing to repent of them and you're willing to confess that he is the Christ, the Son of God, then you're ready to be baptized, and we will be happy to assist you in that. If you're already his child, how has your attitude been toward worship? Something you take for granted? Something that, well, we're going to do it this week because we did it last week? Or what? What's your attitude toward worship? Enthusiasm and according to the truth, that's what it ought to be. If we can help anyone be better at being a Christian or to become a Christian, let us know while we stand and while we sing.